You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to David Shapiro from Sesame Securities in Johannesburg. America was off yesterday, David, as we said on Shapiro World yesterday, for something called Juneteenth. The American futures were still open, though. And this morning when you woke up and you saw the S&P futures up around about 1.5%, that wasn't from last night's close, because there was no close. It was actually from Friday. And the JSE embraced this, but it came off quite sharply. It was up, I think, 1.5% the all share, and I think it's only up about 0.5% at the moment. Is that correct?
It is. It's running out of steam. It's running out of stories to keep it going, despite the fact that we've seen the U.S. markets very, very strong. There's still an abundance of bad news and warnings coming out. You struggle to find anything that would actually draw buyers in. So, you know, whatever reports I've read, they've all been leaning towards warning signs, you know, whether it's Goldman, whether it's Morgan Stanley, still coming out. Rubini, who else was it? Elon Musk. I don't know Rubini, sorry. I didn't really listen to an interview. I saw him being interviewed, but Elon Musk, still very, very negative about what things are. And these are played out in the media. So I'm surprised that the market is actually holding up the way it is. That the NASDAQ is up about 3%. So it could be some kind of rear guard action, just a bounce. But I don't think we've seen the end of the news. If the markets continue to rally, then I would take note. You know, if they continue to build on this against the background that we're seeing, then maybe something's happening out there. I think, you know, looking for the story, Biden's come out and said, oh, it's not inevitable. Okay. You know, you're going to listen to
Biden. What,
the
recession, you mean? The recession? Yeah. Yeah, just like you listened to Jerome Powell when he said that inflation is transitory. I wouldn't believe a word they say, actually.
No. So what might happen is they're pushing this recession story very, very hard. And you might not necessarily go into a deep recession. So it might be giving the market comfort. But, I've been doing a number of results and going through things and going through reports that I'm receiving on a daily basis. And to be fair, the reports that I get on individual companies are not necessarily negative. You know, they're quite supportive and still the target prices, meaning how the analysts see the share price 1 year out, are encouraging. But when I go talk to the strategists at the same company, they say, well, the companies haven't really priced in a recession. Now you've got to wait for interest rates to stabilize and steady and come down. You've got to wait for inflation to peak. So I said, well, who's going to tell me when that happens? You know, will you tell me when inflation peaks? Will you tell me when interest rate volatility slows down? You know, so that I can go in and now buy these shares. So there's a lot of uncertainty it's murky out there. It's messy. You know, no one's really got a grip on what they're saying. I'm chattering away here, I keep hearing references to the 1970s, and I'm saying, hold on, you people weren't there. You know, you're talking about the 1970s, so you're going back and you're looking at textbooks or whatever it is about the 70s and trying to say it's not like the 70s this at all. It's nowhere near. And even 07, 08, it's not like that. There we had a proper crisis. You know, companies had overborrowed. There was a huge debt crisis, a lot of stress on balance sheets.
So what you're saying is, David, and I've heard this before, particularly from Wayne, he says the difference is, Lindsay, is that the domestic balance sheet and the corporate balance sheet is far, far healthier. And that will obviously, markets are going to fall because they have already fallen. But on the other hand, there's this cushion, because there is so much money sloshing around from the days of really, really easy money. Okay, it's not quite as easy as it was, and will become a little bit less easy in the future. But the point is that we won't get that disaster where companies go bust because they've extended themselves too much. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I don't think they I don't think they're feeling the kind of stress as much as the markets are suggesting. Mm. And I think when you actually – yeah, there are people like Elon Musk, but I was listening to him now being interviewed by Micklewaite. What's his name from the – he was ex-economist. He's now editor at or in charge of Bloomberg. Mm. And you know, to be honest, Musk is hard. He's a very clever entrepreneur. Don't take it away from him. Do you know what I mean? But it's very difficult to believe his story. He doesn't seem to be a man that's got complete control over what's happening in his companies and in the market, you know,
or his mind as well. He's a little bit touched in my view, but that's what's made him. He's creative, you see, and creative people often go off at various tangents. I mean, look at his history, but undoubtedly a genius.
You know what I'm saying to you? I listen in terms of being able to put in these plans, but when it comes to a broader macroeconomic issues, I'm not sure that, you know, he's the man I would listen to. You know, so I'm saying, okay, I listened to the interview. Did I really get anything out of it? So no, not really. And that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to find some balanced people in that who can really get to grips with where we are. But I don't think we're going to find it because I don't think anybody has come to grips with where we are. You know, and really what's happening.
Okay.
So it's
Let's
it doesn't help anybody, but I don't feel that stressed at the moment. I don't feel really devastated, and I'm looking for chances to come into the market rather than to get out the market, if that makes sense.
Certainly, you know, makes
I'm
a lot
I'm
sense.
Realistic. Yeah, I'm realistic. I'm not being silly or stupid and being bullish for the sake of it, but I don't feel that bearishness and an overwhelming fear in this kind of market that things are really going to tumble and fall apart, you know. So, you know, we'll see. In fact, a question I asked yesterday as well, and this – I don't know if I brought it up with you yesterday, in that when asked about inflation, one of the questions during the discussion we were having was a lot of people are saying – if this is a supply side issue, supply side shocks, meaning, you know, it's gas prices, it's oil prices, and then you've also got supply chain issues. So it's supply chain, which can be sorted out. The concern is that this might lead to people asking for higher wages. And once you get higher wages, that you can't reverse, you know, you can't take it down. So there's still this concern about wage inflation, which hasn't really manifested itself. There's no clear evidence yet of this being a big problem.
No, but so you see, the UK is a great example of this, David, because the RMT union, which is railways, maritime, transport, anyway, they're on strike, and they're striking strategically. They're on strike today, so there's no trains, or there's only 10% of the normal service today in the United Kingdom. The tube in London just not running at all, and it's going on. There's another one on the 23rd in 2 days' time, and there's another one on the 25th as well. So it completely stuffs up your week. You can't get anywhere in the UK at the moment. And they're asking for 7% increase, which is below the rate of inflation in the UK. But the point is, and you know, of course, I mean, if I was a union leader, I'd be beating that same drum. But on the other hand, if that extra money comes into the system, then that creates demand. And the supply side falls away somewhat, I think, potentially. Mm. And the demand side, you know, takes on that baton and runs with it. So,
that's a good point. I think the other point is that it's not dramatic if there's a tantamount increase in productivity. If there's no increase, if they're not going to work harder, you know, and they're just going to go say, listen, I'm going to do the same slovenly job
well,
that I've done.
You can only drive one train at a time. So, I mean, there you go. So yeah,
touche.
Yeah, there's going to be a summer of discontent in the United Kingdom, and the nurses and the teachers who I would definitely support. Mm. I don't know about the railway people. I don't want to be nasty because as a child, I love trains and they do a fine job, but I don't know whether they should be suddenly have this all this publicity. Oh. I think the nurses and the teachers and the care workers should really take precedent over these people. Anyway, David, let's have a look at the JSC today. ABSA came out with a trading update and BREIT came out with results. Which one do you want to look at, or both?
I looked, ABSA was a good number. I mean, it's really it's become fashionable now to have a pre-close. I think Investec started it. So 5 months, after 5 months, they give a trading update. They don't say a lot. They give hints about increase in demand. But I think the market had priced in a lot of it already. And a lot also refers to what happened last year as well. You know, it's a reversal of some very tough times last year. So I think the big question is whether they will do this next year as well, you know, whether they'll be able to keep up this kind of pace of revenue increase. But it's a solid result, and banks are well run here. They don't lend out money frivolously, which they should be doing. So you're never going to get real big growth here, you know, because you can't get money out of a bank. They're really tight. And a lot of Lindsay, it's an issue I've been looking into quite a lot, because a lot of small businesses just don't have the wherewithal to get a bank loan. You know what I mean? They all have very good ideas. Small and medium enterprises, we use the word very loosely in that, and a lot of money is being set aside, and you always hear the government saying we're going to give money to these people. But these people can't get loans, because when you go and look at a loan, they say, okay, let me see your business plan. You know, where's your books and records? Where's your cash book? Where's your ledgers? They don't have that. So people have great ideas in that, but you can't get a bank loan until you have a proper set of books, which costs money. So at the end of the day, things just go dormant. You know, nothing gets done. No new businesses come online as well. So it's not easy. All I'm trying to get at is, in a country like this, which is it's not easy to get, you know, to get those loans to drive the economy further. And I've always suggested that you need organizations that help people through this difficult time, you know, explain to them what running a business is and what it entails, because you can't do it just on the back of a matchbox or back of a, we used to say cigarette box, but no one smokes anymore. So the banks are well run here, but we're never going to get the phenomenal growth that we might see in other developing countries. So where do you go? You go to a money lender, you know, and that's disastrous. You know, there you really pay through the nose.
Yeah, they should have, I don't know, maybe they do. I don't know about the South African banking system at the moment, but they should surely have some division that takes on a little bit more risk and embraces companies that have good ideas and haven't got the...
One day you should test it, you know. I mean, if you were a journalist, an investigative journalist or something, want to go and test the systems, or, you know, even government systems. Yeah. I think during lockdown, so many businesses failed because they couldn't get loans, and even some of the charitable places. Nobody in South Africa lends money easily. You know, you have to put your wife and your mother-in-law and your, which is not a bad idea, all of them, you've got to hock them. You know, you've got
anyway,
you
got to
put them up as collateral.
You're not a fan of the banks. I know you're not a fan of the banks, and the ABSA trading update, the 5 month trading update has not swayed you at all. Share price up, I don't know, about 2/3%. Okay, BREIT. Yeah. Share price was up around about 5% in the first half hour. I don't even know what BREIT is anymore. What is BREIT? Please tell us.
You know what? That's a question I was going to ask you. I know there's Virgin Active still in there, and I know there's Premier. And I think Premier makes up probably 50%. Premier used to be arch rivals of Tiger Brands, or what was then known as Tiger Oats. Mm-hmm. The two families used to go, you know, were friendly but big, big competitors. Mm-hmm. The Bloom family and then the Frankel family. Right. So, you know, they used to compete. I mean, in very much the same territory. So that's Premier. And Premier is a good, I think it's a pretty good business. I don't know. I haven't looked at its accounts in great detail, but it's owned by Brait. And then they've still got their new look, which I don't know, you know, I thought was bankrupt and dead. But it's got a market cap of about, what's it, about 5 billion now, I think. But, I mean, this has come from, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 billion. I don't know. I can't remember.
Wasn't it around about 160, 170 rand a share at one stage? I'm sure it was.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen money vanish so fast. And this was Visa's money as well, Christo Visa. So
where's he gone?
I still probably owns it, but I mean, this went pretty fast. So there were some poor decisions, most of which was this new look, which was going to be
an
absolute winner. Yeah, no. Anyway, I
walked past one of those shops in London five years ago, in fact, and it was it was the most uninspiring looking place. It just looked like somebody had it was like a pop-up shop. Somebody had said, "Okay, I've got this. I just bought a big job lot of shoes and things, and this shop is available for a month. Let's put it all in the window." That's exactly the sort of impression I got. And I'm not being nasty about New Look because I'm talking from a position of weakness. But I know what I saw, and it was there was nobody in there.
Yeah, so. I think so. I think they wanted, their ambitions were to go into China. Having believing that they could get into that market. But look, my next life, I'm saying to you, Lindsay, I want to go and start a company, raise money, and go, you know, spend other people's money. That's what I want to do.
Okay. Well, if you believe in reincarnation, David, then that's fine. But I wouldn't have.
That's what I'm going to do.
I wouldn't write a business plan if I were you, because once you're gone, that's it. David, let's have a look at some of these spot prices now, because I'm going to give you spot prices. The rand's been very good today. A dollar rand is 15.85. British pound against the rand is 19.46. Euro rand is 16.73. Euro dollar 105.50, which is a 0.6% weakness in the dollar against the single European currency. The British pound 122.75. That's a 0.4% gain for the pound. So the dollar on the back foot. Despite the weaker dollar, the gold price has managed to eke out a $5 loss to 18.38. The platinum price is up 15, though, to 9.50 on the nose. And palladium is up $21 an ounce to $18.60 per ounce. Crude oil, gosh, it was around 112 yesterday, having fallen precipitously last week. It's clawing its way back a little bit. It's $115.12 for Brent crude, which is up 0.9%. And the West Texas Intermediate brand is $111.33 per barrel, which is up just over 1%. Natural gas, 6.8. And, it's sort of, again, clawing its way back. It's around about 0.9% higher. Bitcoin was a big story over the weekend. We spoke about it yesterday. And now it's around about, it's more than $3,000 a coin higher than it was on Saturday afternoon. It's currently 21,478. What else have we got here? The South African 10-year bond yield is 10.17%. It's fallen by 6.5 basis points yield-wise. And the US 10-year is 3.29%. I'm slightly dyslexic. 3.29% for the US 10-year. S&P futures, you'll give us the live Wall Street in a moment, but it's up 2.75%. I wouldn't mind betting, given the action on the JSE, and the JSE sometimes leads the markets. I mean, this is my personal theory. I wouldn't mind betting that the S&P futures actually halve their gains by the close tonight on the longest day of the year here where I am, and the shortest day of the year where you are in Johannesburg, David. So,
I don't think that, you know, I tend to agree. I think profit taking will come in. There's nothing, there's no news, as I said, driving things up. If you went into the market now, I'm not quite sure what's behind it and what's going to make you stay in the market and drive it to other levels. So you have to get something that creates the momentum. And I can't find it at the moment. You know, I can't find any news. I'm looking for it because I'm a bull and I want it to go better. But I'm afraid that the reports that I've been reading today just suggest otherwise.
Yes, indeed. Let's have a look at some of the movers on the JSC today, David. I've got, let me give you mine first, and then you can you can chip in and add some juicier ones to from your list, because you always get better ones than I do. Let me just refresh my screen quickly, because the market has definitely closed on my 15 minutes delayed screen. Kumba Iron Ore up 7%, nice move. Telkom up nearly 6%. Thungela up 5 1/3, and Omnia, after its numbers yesterday, up 4.1%. On the downside, PSG Consult down 5.6%, Alphamin down 4.5%, Investec Limited down 2.3%, and Investec PLC down 1 3/4%, with Goldfields down nearly 2%. What else have you got on yours, your watch list?
There are a couple of companies. A company called Osaka, which used to be Net One, that's up about 10%.
Oh, yeah.
So you see quite a few gains in the small and medium caps that you might not have picked up as well.
Yeah.
If you look at Murray and Roberts, up 7%. Telkom turned around, up, call it 6%. Advertech up 6%. So there's quite a bit of buying in some of the smaller businesses. That don't. Value again, trader, wasn't that great. On the other hand, you picked up PSG Consult and Alphamin, Oceana. All of those are down a bit here, but nothing dramatic. So it was a day, I think, when buyers did come in for small and medium cap shares. But once more, Lindsay, nothing really to drive them up. And what concerns me more than anything is that the value trader today, if you want to get that one now, is probably, I'm trying to look, about 17, 18 billion.
That's no good.
Yeah, which is not good.
It's not good.
Naspers, APSA, MTN. And yesterday we were down even lower. We were down at 14, 15 billion. So trade is almost dying, is kind of just drying up here. And it's hard to trade in that kind of environment, where there's no buzz in our market.
And if you're a big hedge fund, or if you're a big overseas investor potentially in South Africa, you say to yourself, "Oh, I just can't get the volume." Although you can create volume by putting in a bid, and suddenly sellers come out of the woodwork. But anyway, David, give us the closing JSE indices, if you would.
I must tell you something.
What's
Kumba.
Wrong?
Sorry, I got the wrong company. Sorry, that was Kumba that I was looking at. Sorry, the JSE indices, all share index closed up 0.6%, 0.6% at 66747.
Right.
The top 40 up 0.5% at 60374. Resources steady. They're okay. The overall resource index up 0.78%. Precious metals, similar kind of gain as well. Then banks up, banks flat. I thought they would have done better. They were up 0.25% there. And on the industrial side, the industrial 25, which is what I watch, up 0.68%. But consumer discretionary, that's more the consumer side, up a little stronger, up 1.4%. And property steady as well, up 0.2%. So nothing dramatic. No real big moves there. I think you've covered most of the big gainers as well today. I'm trying to look on the consumer side if there's anything that we missed. Not really.
Okay.
It was a UK market down, because British American Tobacco, AB InBev, under a bit of pressure. That was about it.
Okay, well,
nothing.
That's fine.
Nothing to get excited about. Yeah.
No, nothing. Really, quite a dead couple of days, actually. And as you say, very, very subdued volume, with 17 billion rands worth of trade going through the JSE. David Shapiro is from Sasum Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.